Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
What an insane year it's been for WWE as a whole, but more specifically, I would argue, not just because I have to review it every week, Raw. Monday Night Raw, we are going to look back at the entire year of Raw, month by month, all the things you've forgotten about, all the heel turns that never were followed through upon, so entire storylines that were set up and then dropped. Baron Corbin versus Kurt Angle and Survivor Series teams. That was a thing that was really going to happen on TV for several weeks, and then they just dropped it all. I'm Ollie Davis, this is Luke Owen. Welcome to this Raw in Review show, Raw 2018 review. I guess you're watching this on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to one and all.
The last Raw of 2018 was last night on New Year's Eve. We're not in today. This is a pre-recorded thing, spoiler.
Yes, it is actually the 20th of December when we're recording this. So, hence the Christmas hat, I suppose.
Yeah, that's dated
it's
now.
It's well dated. We're well past this
you
period.
You need the Millennium glasses.
That's what I need.
Okay, so let's
kick off.
I actually
have my proper hat down there, I suppose. I could change.
Let's start with January 2018.
Let's go back to that wistful time.
All the way back.
I would say, like, as a whole, I think Raw's had a very bum rap this year. It's been very much heavily criticised as being just, like, not just a bad show, but the worst show.
Okay, well, I've gone through all of Raw. You've gone all through all of SmackDown, which has already gone live. And It is bad.
Yeah,
like, Raw has had an awful year. I think all the criticism is justly deserved, apart from a brief spell of about 5 weeks in October and September, where it was really, really genuinely good.
Yeah, it was great.
Asterix, still 3 hours, so still too long, but by Raw's 3-hour standards, exemplary programming.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. We start at 2018 on the 1st of January.
Wow.
That was the first one. And that had a match where Samoa Joe took on Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Samoa Joe got injured. He wouldn't be seen again for the next 4 months.
That's right, yes.
The Women's Royal Rumble was announced.
Was that announced on New Year's Eve, was it?
On New Year's Eve, that
Crikey.
Was.
Crikey.
Kane was around. He was building to the program with Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman, and he was trying to make the phrase Alpha Monster happen.
Well, you say he was trying to make that phrase happen. WWE were trying to make the phrase happen.
Yeah, it's not like he tried to run for mayor of Knox County with that.
Exactly.
But one of the things that was completely dropped from this show, and, you know, it happened for the next few weeks. Finn Balor, for the first time, properly united with Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. They did the two sweet. There was a lot of excitement. Balor Club is finally here in WWE.
Yep, and then they got drafted to SmackDown, and we were like, ah, so they're going to reunite the club on SmackDown Live instead, and nope, that was just dropped as well.
But it didn't even last. It seemed to only be a thing
for that one show.
For Raw 25.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Because that, so I've kind of given a little subheading for each month. January, I've got as Raw 25. Because everything was building
so
up to that.
So much better at this than I have with my SmackDown notes.
Everything was kind of building up to that. And then it was zero payoff because it was just nostalgia out of continuity angles.
Yeah.
And you had Balor Club unite with DX and just squash the Revival.
Oh, man. Oh, but they got the rub. They got the rub from being in the ring with DX and Bullet Club and the NWO. They got the rub from it, mate.
Not even Balor Club got the rub. They weren't a thing the next week.
Oh, they got the rub from it as well. Finn Balor has been like riding on a wave of success after being in the ring with Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Sorry, that's not strictly true, by the way. Balor would sometimes team with Karl Anderson. They had some quite good tag matches. But it was never to the Balor Club extent we all thought.
No.
And, you know, Finn Balor capitalized on this great January, really. He was in the main event mix. They were starting to build him up again with that Iron Man performance in the Royal Rumble match.
Yeah. The Iron Man performances, I felt, didn't really pay off for much anything this year because, like, Sasha Banks was the Iron Woman of the Women's Royal Rumble, and it paid off for nothing.
Yeah, and absolutely Seth Rollins in the gauntlet, he was like the other Iron Man, and he was just sort of flattened out. But yes, that's the other things in this month were John Cena coming back. It's Cena beat Balor the night after the Royal Rumble.
That's what we were thinking about because it was mentioned in the worst moments of 2018 and we couldn't quite remember what it was, but yeah, that's what that was then.
After that big performance.
Was
and
that when
Mr. Raj were a big thing. Mr. Raj were feuding with Roman Reigns over the Intercontinental title. That was the big main event scene.
Crikey. Was that when Cena had him in the FU position and did the two sweets?
Yeah.
I think that must have been what... Yeah.
It was in Philadelphia. The crowd were booing Cena and it looked like it got to Cena for a change. Mm. Okay. Well, that's January.
It's the Mr. Raj. Crikey, remember them.
Mm.
Remember the Mr. Raj. Remember when they were going to be part of that TLC main event in 2017, and then they suddenly were against the Shield, and they suddenly thought, oh, actually, Shield versus Mr. Oz is rubbish, so we need to put the bar in there. That's still rubbish. We need to put Kane in there. It's still rubbish. We better put Braun in there as well. And then everyone got injured.
Then they changed the Shield to have Kurt Angle in.
Yeah, Shield
Dad.
It was a fun match.
So
wacky match.
February, we're on the road to WrestleMania now. Royal Rumble's out the way. I've called this month Monday Night Rollins / Ronda. Because this was really Rollins's, when everyone was like Monday Night Rollins, that t-shirt came out and he had, it was like one of the best Raw shows of the year where half of it was this incredible gauntlet match.
Yeah, it was great.
And Seth beat Roman and Cena over an hour, like just over an hour of TV time. Really, really good. But it's also when Cena starts to tease out The Undertaker.
Yeah, because his storyline leading into WrestleMania was that I'm not going to have a WrestleMania match. And I remember Dave Meltzer being like, but we all know he is. So this is all a very silly storyline.
Yeah, I always liked it, though. I didn't buy into it. I did. It's like when a main character in a movie is in jeopardy. Mm. I don't really think that they're going to kill off this person, but I'm enjoying the ride, and that I enjoyed this ride.
Yeah,
a last ride.
It should have been, absolutely. But yeah, because it was it was bizarre because he was like teasing these matches with The Undertaker while at the same time trying to do other things. Like he went across to SmackDown to try and win the WWE Championship at Fastlane. Was he in the Elimination Chamber?
So yeah, he was trying to get a match at WrestleMania. And so the Chamber was this month. That was a Raw pay-per-view. The Chamber and Fastlane, Raw and SmackDown, were the last specifically branded pay-per-views of this era.
Yeah.
Whichever era that is. And Cena was in that Chamber match. He'd lost, but what else? Reigns won that. That's what got Reigns into the main event against Lesnar.
That's right.
And that's when near the end of the month, they also started building the Lesnar no-showing.
Oh, that's right.
And that was the main drive behind the Roman Reigns Lesnar match.
I tell you what else was
which
built,
no one wanted to see.
Tell you what else was built in February, and I cannot believe this is not in your notes: the Bayley Sasha Banks feud when Sasha Banks screwed Bayley in the Elimination Chamber.
Mm. Yes. Well, this even goes back further, really. Like, that didn't have a spot in the Rumble as well.
At WrestleMania.
I don't know when that started, and I don't think it's finished either. So that was February.
It was.
Really, really good showing for Rollins. And it was sort of, Ronda, of course, debuted at the Rumble. Mm-hmm. And February was very much centered around her too, and that she's going to Raw.
A lot of Steph on TV. Mm.
Then March was pretty much built around Lesnar being promoted for Raw and then no showing it.
Yeah.
It's crazy to cast your mind back. It feels like it happened in another rage. And you're like, that was bad. Like, it was bad living through it.
I quite liked it, though. I thought it was really good. As a way to make people boo Lesnar and cheer Reigns, I thought it was quite a clever way of doing it. Mm. And it worked.
This was also where we saw our first suspension of the year. Suspension being a kayfabe storyline thing where Roman Reigns was suspended. Because he said, this is crap. Brock Lesnar not turning up at the time. Right. And he confronts Vince McMahon backstage.
Oh, yeah, when he started, and Shane was there. And everyone was like, why is Shane there?
Yeah. And Vince, like, takes him back. He's suspended now.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Because then everyone was like, oh, they're going to do the storyline where, like, Lesnar is one of Vince's boys.
Yeah.
And it never paid off for anything.
No, you never saw Vince again.
I forgot all about that, man. Christ, I forgot it's all about
crazy,
that.
It's crazy, isn't it? There were a lot of suspensions like that this year where people just turn up the next week. The other thing that is probably the most, apart from the Sasha Banks-Bailey stuff, really thematically consistent, is battle royals to crown the number one contender for the tag team championships. And then Braun Strowman coming in and beating them all.
I remember someone saying
that
about
happened
this, yeah.
twice this
I
year.
I know, right?
And
yeah.
this was the first time we also got Nia Jax's first baby face. She began to split from Bliss.
That lasted for a little while, in fairness.
Yeah.
It lasted until basically she won the belt and then they stopped it.
Yeah. Until
so
she
when I say a little while, a month.
Her.
Yeah, it about lasted about a month.
And Mickie James was now randomly a heel again after being a babyface for a bit.
Yeah, she was Bliss's replacement for Jax. And yeah, the Alexa Bliss cutting that promo backstage that Nia Jax wasn't supposed to see.
Yeah, and then after the week after Reigns was suspended, of course he shows up and he's arrested. They arrest him. Yeah. That's when Lesnar beat up Reigns with the handcuffs on, which was a good angle.
Oh, that was
a good angle,
yeah. Can't believe as well in all of your notes you didn't note down Braun Strowman crushing Kane and Lesnar with a grappling hook.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah, that happened. And Kane came back here as well month. He came back to answer Cena
that's right,
on the Undertaker's behalf.
Yeah, as well as it did Goldust. Randomly.
Yep. And also in March, Jesus, there's so much that happened. We got Ultimate Deletion.
Was that in March?
That was in March.
Right.
WrestleMania.
I would have said that was in January.
Yeah. So that was Woken Matt Hardy had his in-ring WWE debut as that gimmick.
Raw 25.
In January.
Yeah.
And that was like the week before.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It was the 8th.
Oh,
actually.
That's it.
It
was
before.
Matt versus Bray at Raw 25, because everyone was like, what a weird time to do the culmination of that feud.
And also, after the Cruiserweights were stricken from Raw, had been for a few months after all the sort of Enzo Amore fallout, they returned to Raw for 1 week in March at the end.
Cool.
Okay, so April, I have labelled call-ups and returns.
Yeah, NXT call-ups and the draft happened.
Yeah, because, of course, we have WrestleMania right at the start here. We've got Seth wins the Intercontinental Champion, Jax wins the Women's Championship, and we get the Braun and Nicholas thing for the tag titles, and Brock retains. So then the next night, get this for one show. And actually, let me just read through all the people that either left or came back in the next two weeks.
Lay it on me, brother.
Two back-to-back episodes.
Bury me softly, brother.
Paige retires. Ember Moon, No Way Jose, AOP get called up. AOP immediately break up with Paul Ellering, who came up with them. Bobby Lashley returns. Samoa Joe returns from injury. Jeff Hardy returns from injury. Nicholas leaves the promotion the night after and relinquishes his tag belt. The next week is the Superstar Shake-Up. So Owens and Zayn, who have lost their jobs at Mania, SmackDown at least, come to Raw. That's never really paid off with the McMahon family and what's going on there. Jinder lost the United States title to Jeff on being drafted to Raw, but then Jeff went to SmackDown. Dolph goes to Raw and Drew McIntyre returns. Natalya goes to Raw, who was a heel.
Part of the welcoming committee.
Suddenly a babyface, and Baron Corbin also goes to Raw. And in all of this, It's the best of both worlds. They announced that dual-branded pay-per-views are going to be the norm from now on.
Bloody love Best of Both Worlds. What a great song it was.
And both of those 2 weeks weren't very good episodes. It was just returns, and nothing happened of substance.
Well, I suppose true.
That is exhausting. That is exhausting.
Fun couple of weeks, mate.
Yeah. Then we had the fake Roman fans.
Debatable.
Do you remember that?
I do remember.
This was where I was convinced that a contingent of fans shown on camera were fakes. They looked so fake. And then someone got in touch with us and said, no, I really like Roman Reigns. I'm that guy there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, shill. You've been paid to say that. I still think they were moved into that area then. I can't. It was too fake. Then we got Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah, we did. The build, because that's what we thought, that Roman was going to beat Lesnar. We're like, oh, well, okay, they're not doing it at WrestleMania. Surely they're going to do it at the Greatest Royal Rumble instead then. And nope, Brock just won again. Mm. Well, Roman won by accident, and then they just said that Brock won.
And that set up 3 months of Roman Reigns complaining and whining about how he's the rightful uncrowned
company,
champion.
This company, they had it right, I think, with the Brock no showing and Roman showing up, and like even doing the Steve Austin getting arrested, getting suspended, and all of that, fighting against Vince McMahon and the authority. You're like, I mean, yeah, that's kind of a right idea. Then to have him come out and be like, well, I should be the champion, I'm the uncrowned champion. Like, no one's going to cheer that, are they? Even your plants are going to boo that one.
Yeah. The planted fans.
The planted fans,
I thought you were making like a weird reference to Roman's shrubbery.
No, yeah, he's got like a little Shop of Horrors like lined up. It's like, boo, I don't like you.
And from that, like, you got to remember that the months after WrestleMania are historically no good. And they stuck with that trend because then we got comfortably the worst pay-per-view of the year. And what I've put here, the theme of May is just rubbish. I've just written rubbish here.
Backlash was a bad show.
Because we got Backlash, which was the first dual-branded pay-per-view that wasn't a Big Five event or in Saudi Arabia. Worst pay-per-view of the year. Worst pay-per-view of the brand split, arguably.
Easily.
And you got Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn broke up there. They were now solo acts. They just evaporated.
But then they were back together because we saw them back together in London.
They were never really a whole after that. That was the first time that the finish was Owens walking out on Zayn or something in their tag match against Lashley and Strowman.
Do you know what's really funny about that? When I was doing all my SmackDown stuff, the first 3 months of SmackDown is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn teasing that split and splitting up and then getting back together.
And no one wanted them to split up.
No.
And then, like, we got the Reigns versus Joe main event of Backlash, which was no one was into. And then, just when you think it couldn't get any worse, we get a program of Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal the next night's Raw.
This is when WWE still thought that Jinder could be a main event guy.
And on that same show, Bobby Lashley's sisters.
Oh, same show.
This is the infamous promo where Bobby Lashley destroyed his credibility, derailed
just
any momentum
he had. Just don't know what to do with him.
A month after he came back.
Just don't know what to do with this ginormous wrestler who can do amazing power moves. How do you get someone like this over? Ah, family man.
Yeah.
That's how you get him over.
Yeah, just awful. The week after that, Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey is announced. And you have the horrible PR promo of Charlotte.
Woo!
Yeah. The B team, that's where they begin as well on the 14th of...
And that's what I mean. That B team show, where their B team got back together, Sami Zayn helped Kevin Owens in the main event of that show, or it was the other way round.
Yeah.
So they split up, but then got back together.
I don't know. It was a very... Like, it's confusing enough to review WWE TV week to week. To step back and to take it in over a year, you're like, good God, they cannot tell stories.
Yeah.
It's really... Unless it's NXT, like, they've got... It's like ADD. They can't focus on any one thing.
I think with NXT, the argument there is that because they block tape, 2 months' worth of shows, you have to write out 2 months' worth of shows. So the storyline seems consistent over a two-month period, whereas Raw and SmackDown are written week to week. Mm. So when you show up on Tuesday...
Hour to hour.
Exactly, yeah. You show up on Tuesday, you don't know what show you're actually going to produce on SmackDown and if that's going to follow on from the week previous because they don't like doing long-term booking.
The week after... the Bobby Lashley's sisters. Week after that, Ronda Rousey, Nia Jax, woo announcement. Week after that, one of the worst segments of the year, Bobby Lashley beats up his own sisters, who are men dressed as women.
Yeah. Turned off a lot of fans.
Terrible. And Stephanie McMahon returned.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
For what?
I don't know. I can't remember. To set something. No, Evolution came later. She just returned, I think, and started emasculating people.
Sweet.
June. The month of June is just Reigns versus Jinder.
You remember when, like, okay, so this was a feud that only lasted one pay-per-view, thankfully. But there were teasers that it was going to be a house show feud after that, which would suggest it was going to carry on post-June.
All the reports were that this would go on through SummerSlam.
Oh, man.
I know. And, well, no, until
Reigns gets his
until Extreme
Lesnar.
Rules and then Lesnar. It was a filler between Roman and Brock.
Yeah. I just remember what Roman did at Extreme Rules. We'll get to it, but I'd completely forgotten about it.
So what else happens here? Another tag battle royal for the number one contendership.
Nice.
Constable Corbin was instilled.
In June?
In June.
No, is it June?
Yeah, so he wasn't like a proper authority figure, but he was the, you know, he was making sure everything was okay with his shaved head.
If I was a betting man, I'd have said August.
Yeah.
I'd have said that was probably around
time
August
flies.
Bob, when you're having so much fun.
Then we got Money in the Bank, where just a bunch of stuff happened. The Reigns Jinder thing was finally over. Bliss cashed in. Braun won the briefcase.
That worked out well.
Mm.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
And then on the 18th, Ronda gets suspended.
For what?
For attacking everyone. This was actually a killer angle.
Oh, she attacked Kurt and things like, oh, that was a good angle.
Yeah, after Bliss had cashed in, she was actually annoyed, although I'm pretty sure she walked down to the ring smiling. But she beat up everyone. We got a new Intercontinental Champion. Dolph Ziggler beat Seth Rollins. And then the Bayley and Banks thing got going again.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. Finally.
And then on the week after, Bayley finally attacked Banks and Kirk sent them to counselling.
We got the return of Dr. Shelby, which coincided with the reuniting of Team Hell No over on SmackDown.
July, I've called the complaining month because that's where Roman Reigns really stepped up. How he is the uncrowned champion.
No,
and
I
no one cares.
Champion. Why am I not the champion?
Why isn't
he getting over?
Nothing really happened in this. There were, like, Bobby and Roman had a pull apart brawl. They were having the Lashley and Reigns feud because they dropped the
Jinder
stuff.
That's right.
Owens and Braun Strowman were building to their steel cage match with the briefcase on the line. Well, we were kind of hoping Owens would win. I mean, that looks stupid in hindsight.
Yeah.
Banks and Bayley had an angle where one of them were teasing a SmackDown move.
Oh, yeah.
That never happened. And then Evolution was announced.
Yeah, with over 50 women from Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and NXT UK.
Yeah, and Nikki Cross was on stage.
Yeah, because she was part of the house show tour at that point.
And now, like, near the end of that month, we get into the SummerSlam build, or the Reigns era begins of August, I've put it here, because Brock turned on Heyman at the end of July, which was a great angle.
Yeah, that Heyman promo the following
and
week.
Yeah, the following week, Heyman's, I think that's promo of the year for me.
Such a good promo. Yeah, great performance from Heyman.
Where he has the interview with Renee Young and he's crying. He's like, but, you know, I've tried to call Brock and all that stuff. And then he teased that he might get a new client. And we're like, oh, is it Strowman? Is he going to turn? Is Roman Reigns the new client? And he'll turn heel on Brock.
Yep. God, I can't wait to see how this storyline pays off.
No, it's the next week. It was Heyman turning on Reigns with pepper spray, and it was all a ruse.
Yeah, what a crazy ruse that was. For, I mean, can you say it's a ruse if it doesn't do anything?
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah,
I guess it just makes us look like idiots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it was a ruse on the fans.
Because it's not like Brock had an advantage going into SummerSlam from this so-called "quote unquote" ruse.
Mm. Yeah, it was limp, and it was a real bad payoff to two great angles.
It was basically like landing on a snake that takes you all the way back to square one.
we also started the AOP Titus Worldwide feud.
We were there going like, oh, when is ever? What are they going to do with AOP? Ah, Titus Worldwide. That make sure they lose. Make sure they get beaten by Titus Worldwide, will you?
Well, maybe we'll make something of Titus Worldwide then. Nope. Just quietly disband them.
Yeah. Well, got to put Dana Brooke with them first. When did that happen?
I think that was the previous year.
Crikey.
So what else happened in this month? Ambrose returns from prison, it seemed like. Remember that? Yep. He came back with a new look.
All buff and stuff.
Yeah, he looked great. And Renee Young debuted on commentary. I think it was a one-night-only thing.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, because Booker T was, like, ill or something, or he was doing it on assignment.
It was Coachman by then.
Was it Coachman?
Yeah.
Got all about Coachman. Oh, yeah, good call, Coachman.
Yep. Then we got SummerSlam, where Reigns finally beat Lesnar, and Ronda won the title, and the Bellas returned. So that's like the new main event of Raw. Now we're like, after this hangover that had lasted 4 months after WrestleMania, where those people were meant to win the titles then, now we could finally get going.
Yeah.
And we got going with The Shield reuniting the next night and putting Braun through a table. And Braun was a babyface.
I was going to say, because I was away on my honeymoon at this point, and you were theorizing, I remember you and Fakedor theorizing that it was going to be The Shield reuniting as a heel act.
Mm. Yeah, and or at least a tweener act. I was really excited by it. And also the night after SummerSlam, Triple H made his return because, you know, the ratings are going to bump. Got to make it look like it was me. And he set up the Taker match at Super Showdown.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Angle was put on vacation. So Kurt Angle is still technically on vacation.
Yeah, because that storyline was never, like, that was
never wrapped up.
Yeah, never wrapped up. There was no bow put onto that feud.
No. Yeah, sure, he came out at a night.
Yep. He was on Raw quite recently, but yeah, doesn't really mean much because is he still? I mean, I know they're not doing GMs anymore, so I guess he was always going to lose his job regardless.
I think, like many things we've talked about, it's just going to be dropped.
Yeah.
And they think their viewers are idiots, so they just and won't go back and summarize the entire year.
Only saddos would do that.
Yeah. Or people desperate for content while they're not in the studio. Braun Strowman the very next week sort of scraps all of that intrigue and turns heel, really. Turns cartoonishly heel.
The Dogs of War.
Siding with Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre to have a... Yeah, to feud with The Shield. It was so backwards. Like, oh, we need someone to feud with these guys, so let's throw these three guys together.
Yeah, the Franken team.
Mm, really bad. But, Kevin Owens quit Raw as well.
For one week.
And Strowman cashed in his briefcase for the Hell in a Cell shot. But I would argue that
isn't it incredible that that's the Money in the Bank briefcase and that was literally a throwaway line for you there. It was like, yeah, and he cashed it in.
Yeah, in advance, yeah.
Yeah.
But I would say September and October, now which we're entering now, although they had way too many pay-per-views, you got them at Hell in a Cell, Super Showdown, Crown Jewel, Evolution. Survivor Series, Evolution, five pay-per-views in about 6-7 weeks.
Yeah.
Insane. They put on, so I guess it's because it was just go home angle after go home angle,
really,
and paper, like, night after pay-per-views.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty exciting stuff. Even Strowman was a good heel, and Drew McIntyre is always great. But far more interestingly was Dean Ambrose teasing he would split with the Shield.
Yeah.
And there was some great stuff done there.
Walking out on them and things like that, yeah.
You got all the killer stuff with Undertaker and Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Some really good building interviews there for Super Showdown. Mick Foley returned.
Yeah, for that Hell in a Cell match between Roman and Braun.
He was the referee.
Led to nothing.
Yep. Mack and Dolph won the tag titles. Leo Rush debuted as Bobby Lashley's manager. And that's really good.
Yeah.
That's still really good, the Leo Rush side of things.
Remember that he debuted, though? He was a heel, but Lashley was still a babyface.
Yeah, initially, yeah. That was here, yeah.
Really
weird. And then it was infuriating, but at least he didn't have the title then. And it was totally shocking and unexpected. Brock Lesnar returned at Hell in a Cell midway through this month.
And he tore off the cell door and he laid everyone's weight, leaving us with the first ever Hell in a Cell match to finish with a non-finish.
Yeah.
Don't want to beat either guy, so we'll just have Brock beat both of them up.
Yeah, absolutely insane there. Then we got a few bad weeks of like Reigns versus Corbin main eventing. On the 24th of September, the new Then Now Forever Sting debuted.
Oh, would you look at that?
Yeah. It already feels like home to me.
Yeah, I forgot what the old one was.
No,
is that
that's the new one.
Yeah, it's dun.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
On that same show, Liv Morgan was kicked in the face by Brie Bella.
Yeah, the kick heard round the world, and poor old Brie Bella was then assaulted on social media, unfairly so, I would argue.
But also fairly. Like, I think it's unfairly and fairly.
No, well, I don't think she deserved death threats.
Oh, no. Not that bad.
No,
that
and considering bad. That, like,
she deserved criticism.
Well, yeah, okay, considering
she was
that
bad,
like,
at wrestling there.
Considering that, you know, Mustafa Ali, for us this week, really, you know, hurt Daniel Bryan from a botched 4-5, a botched 054, but no one said boo to a goose.
Hey, that's because I like Mustafa Ali.
And
I'm excited to see him on TV.
More importantly, he's a man.
Yeah, and I didn't want to see the Bellas around. Let's put these guys back.
Yeah, sorry, Kenny.
You raged them over. And also, AOP were in the main event at the last show of September.
Wow, against
They
who?
Tagged with Braun Strowman against some combination of the
show. Oh, yeah, I recall this. Yeah.
And we were like, oh, AOP. Little did we know. October, I would say, it was the best month for Raw in the entire year. It was just all this Ambrose teasing heel turn stuff, the Kane, Taker, HBK, Triple H stuff as well. Some great angles there. The Kevin Owens and Elias Heat segment in Seattle.
You loved it, didn't you?
It was great. So I thought, and that was the first time at the October 1st Raw I've ever given an in awe.
And people thought you were mad. People thought you'd lost your tiny little mind because you liked an episode of Raw.
I thought it was a 5 out of 5 show. Then we got Super Showdown. Then on the 8th, we got Kurt coming back in the Golden Luchador outfit.
In his gimp outfit.
Conquistador to take on Baron Corbin.
I love that angle.
Yeah.
I really, really like that angle.
It was really good.
I thought it was great.
Cena was announced for the World Cup to determine the best in the world. What happened to him?
Well, he got morals, is what happened.
The Bellas turned heel on Ronda Rousey. Ambrose walked out on the Shield at the end of this tag match. And you're like, who's he with there?
Whose side is he on?
It was and Kevin Owens was written off with a Bobby Lashley heel turn.
When did Sammy get written off?
I think that was
Bobby,
after the pay-per-view.
He got written off because he got injured by Bobby Lashley.
Yeah,
and Kevin Owens was kind of using that to, or might have been Braun
Strowman. That was a long time ago. So that was another really, really good show off the back of the previous weeks. Then we got a bad one with Tamina turning up. But you got Ronda's Cena's bedroom line on Nikki.
Which some people didn't like.
Mm.
I thought it was quite good.
And Sasha Banks returned. Dogs
of War. Was she gone?
She was injured for a long time, remember?
Oh, that is. She got pulled out of a mixed match challenge,
And the Dogs of War imploded. So Strowman is back to being a babyface. the next week, because on the 22nd, another 5 out of 5 show, which was all the Shield stuff really, Roman Reigns vacated the title with that heartbreaking revelation that he's been diagnosed with leukemia, which is the most insane thing I've ever seen happen in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that. This guy that the whole company has been built around
for the last 5 years.
And it's not an injury. It's like an illness, which is very different. And he was the champion at the time. It is unprecedented.
It really is. It's unreal.
I've never seen anything like it.
I don't think we'll see anything like it.
No. I guess I can't think of anything that compares to how big that is. Like, you say Montreal Screwjob, but like, I don't see the comparison there. This is in a whole crazy league.
Also, that was all a work.
Yeah. But on that same show, Seth and Dean won the tag team titles, and you're so invested in them from the good feels after what happened to Roman, and then Dean turns heel off of it.
I still to this day say it was the right time to do it.
I agree.
I just think it was the right time to do it.
I think having the balls to do something like that almost is a move of respect to what... Like, if I was a wrestler and that awful thing happened to me, I'd be like, well, make something of it, guys. Go out there and make a really good storyline. And they did for tonight and 2 weeks, but then, you know, they fluffed it with Ambrose's stuff. So, and then after that, we got the Evolution pay-per-view. Great event. Jax won there, and Ronda beat Nikki. And then after that, Ronda had the Becky Lynch stare down.
Yeah.
Which was recapped on Raw the next night. Wasn't shown at Evolution, but I forgot that happened.
I forgot it happened as well, actually.
It was like Ronda said, how's it going there, champ? And Becky was like, I'm doing real good, champ. And they just like were really tense with each other.
So it's so
that's
good.
Where the seeds begin.
And it's so good that they then posted that picture on social media of them chatting backstage like they're best mates.
Not so good. But then it enters the bad time. Which was, okay, this has happened to Roman.
Yeah,
Braun Strowman suddenly a babyface.
Reset button needs
Elias to be suddenly a babyface. Braun's facing Lesnar at Crown Jewel now. Lucha House Party debut on this show on Raw. And then Lesnar wins at Crown Jewel. All the nonsense and controversy that happened there. The next night, Rollins loses the tag titles to AOP. Jax turns heel with Tamina that no one cared about. Ruby broke Natalya's sunglasses. Who gives a crap? But Drew beat Kurt in the main event, which is very good.
How did that work out for Drew?
Exactly, yeah. On the 12th, the next week, Strowman buried the tag division again in a battle royal to determine who would be the team captains at Survivor Series.
Yep. Who were the team captains in the end?
Bobby Roode and Chad Gable.
Were they really?
Yeah. Not that it mattered. We also got the Millennial Man promo.
My favourite of the year.
And we got the Ambrose sports car promo, which was actually pretty good.
Oh, the one where he's next to
the shield jacket into the flames. But we did get the Becky Lynch invasion angle.
So awesome.
Which was brilliant.
I absolutely adored it. I still think there are like questions over there storyline-wise in terms of... Because I hate the Raw versus SmackDown nonsense because it essentially just tells you like all those feuds that you liked between the SmackDown stars have to stop because they all pretend to be on the same page. It's so stupid. Mm. But if I'd have just removed all of the other SmackDown women and just had Becky there, which is how I like to remember it, I'd like to ignore that the other SmackDown, like Charlotte fighting alongside Becky Lynch after that Evolution war.
Yeah, and Lana punching like this.
Yeah.
3 feet away from the other person.
Exactly, yeah.
But so, I was checking on Becky. No, you weren't.
So I'm ignoring the fact that they were all there. But the Becky stuff was incredible. Her tapping out Ronda backstage, or blocking the disarmer backstage, storming to the back when the man comes around. It was incredible.
What a star.
What an absolute star. And it was almost even better. Like, I hate to say it's even better when she had the bloody face because she just looked like an absolute war. Like, it was so cool. Yeah. She looked like an incredible badass.
I agree. But that, unfortunately, is the only glimmer of light in the month of November because Survivor Series that weekend, Raw won everything, and it was all built around Baron Corbin's job being on the line. We're like, okay, Corbin's not going to be general manager anymore, or general manager in elect, or acting general manager, or whatever they called it that week. And his job was still there. But the very next night, Stephanie's back on. says his job's on the line again.
Yep, and Strowman has to win another match in order to get to Lesnar at the Rumble.
So it was just all nonsense.
All for nothing.
Dean starts playing hide and seek with Seth Rollins.
Yep.
So that brilliant storyline that they'd set up with like the Roman emotional fuel and the complex character was scuppered. Strowman's written off here with injury. He has to get elbow surgery. And then we get the next week, Alexa Bliss becomes Raw General Manager.
For women.
For women.
But then she's not got that role anymore.
Yep, exactly. And Banks and Bailey do the Q&A segment. Those are the only things of note that happened on that show. Those two shows were the worst two shows of the year.
I forgot as well, like that Bliss segment with Bailey and Banks, that was the one that led into Survivor Series because she said, oh, you two are going to fight each other. Was that the one where they were going to fight each other?
That was the one on the 12th.
Was that the week before?
That was the one that Becky interrupted at the end.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. So what was the Q&A then? What did they do?
It was just, they just sat there and...
They said they were in tag titles.
And then Mickey and Dana Brooke attacked them out of nowhere.
Yeah, and Dana Brooke had been teaming with them like the night previous at Starrcade.
So November, I would say, is possibly one of the worst months since the brand split.
Yep.
But December, it was better. It was better, but it was still pretty bad. But I've called this the new era. So Drew turns on Dolph. Drew's by himself, but hasn't really done anything since.
He's just lost multiple times.
Yeah.
He's lost three times now since splitting with Dolph.
Ambrose goes full-on germaphobe character, just ruining all that storyline. Seth says how rubbish Raw is on TV.
It's all Baron's fault.
Yeah. Chad Gable and Bobby Roode become the tag team champions, but... that's because they booked AOP into the ground.
So quickly as well. Like, it's incredible how quickly they went from being a dominant tag team to Drake Maverick pissing himself.
Mm. And then on the 17th, the McMahon family return and announce this era of change. Now, we haven't seen the Christmas Eve show, but by the spoilers, nothing happened. And, of course, we haven't...
Baron Corbin's in the main event.
Yeah, and we haven't seen the 31st New Year's Eve show either. But... despite saying it was the new era month, that was only in promo. Nothing was there to prove it. So a terrible close to the year, but after a very good September and October, and the rest of the year was pretty below average.
Yeah, I think they had some good weeks here and there, mostly bad weeks. I think SmackDown was sort of the same, really. I think SmackDown had some really good weeks, then every now and again it was just like, that's just a bland show where nothing was really going on. And then that's what I'd always say for Raw, is like, even when Raw is bad, there's something to say about it. I think sometimes with SmackDown, it's just bland. Like, it's just a... like you even did one of the videos where you filled in for me saying, like, oh, I really struggled to come up with a title for this show.
Yeah.
Because nothing happened on it.
At least there's always something newsworthy on Raw.
That's right, yeah.
Or able to get angry about.
That's what I mean. There's always something to talk about with Raw. But yeah, it's certainly a newsworthy year. Mm. It almost felt like week to week there was something going on, something changing. But yeah, overall, not a great year.
It's really fascinating to see it all in. Like, this is the first time we've done that, to like look at a whole year of WWE. And we're week to week, we're day to day. We never really step back and look at the larger course of history, I suppose, with WWE. And yeah, it's remarkable how they cannot stick to anything.
Nope.
Unless it's like you think, oh, well, they probably stuck to the Reigns Lesnar stuff. They didn't, though. They didn't even stick to that. They'll be telling different stories with different characters, but they're both still Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. But Reigns' character changed every 3 weeks.
That Heyman stuff was really disappointing.
Yeah.
It seemed like there was something really interesting going on with that, and it was just dropped.
Well, hopefully 2019 will be much better because.
It's a new era.
A new era.
Man in every corner.
They might even have a little bit of competition on Tuesday Night Dynamite with AEW, if that's a thing that's going to happen.
If his predictions are coming true.
And the trademarks were for something.
Yeah.
But that's all we've got time for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the actual SmackDown review. We're back in the office and we might talk a little bit about what happened on last night's Raw. We still don't know. We're recording this in advance. Time travel is amazing.
It is. It's a whole new age. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.